Good morning. This is Michael Marsalek here at Montana Public Radio. I've got a special guest in studio with me today. Marty Whitmore is here. He's a warning coordination meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Missoula. And I've been wanting to talk with someone with the Weather Service for a long time, certainly here living in Montana. We get calls from our listeners all the time. Of course, we're reading the weather information that we get from you and from the Great Falls office every day, and certainly thinking about the impact that weather obviously has for everybody, especially living here in Montana. So it's great to get a chance to talk with you and dive a little bit in, and I can't think of a better time as this weekend we're certainly expecting some winter activity coming in.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Appreciate you having me on. It's always great to have the opportunity to talk weather, and you're right, you timed it well with this this first blast of winter.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that. There's certainly the first major winter storm activity heading into Montana Sunday, Monday. I'll let Marty give the details on that. One of the things I wanted to start with, though, is the process. You are part of a nationwide organization, right? An arm of the federal government formally? How does that work?
It is. We're under the Department of Commerce and under the NOAA agency, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration. And we're the National Weather Service, a relatively small group of people by some agency standards, but we have regional offices and we have field offices, and Missoula has one of the 122 forecast offices in the National Weather Service. And we all do similar things, but of course the weather and the climate varies around the country, so we have different things that we focus on than, say, an office in Florida.
Right.
So it's very interesting.
And we certainly hear about you or get information from you when there's things like this weekend where there's a major winter storm, obviously during fire season, very active times. But you're very active all the time with the aviation industry and just generally providing information for all sorts of things, right?
Well, that's right. We never stop. You know, the weather never stops. And we're there at the office all the time, every day of the year. But we're part of really a partnership that we consider to be the Weather Enterprise, and we're kind of the government segment of that. But private meteorology and media meteorology and academia, they are all part of the Weather Enterprise, all essentially with similar missions. And we're just trying to help the public out. And the Weather Service is really trying to make the country into a weather-ready nation is the phrase that we have now. And it's so they're prepared, they're resilient, they're responsive to any weather that comes down the pike.
Well, we like to think here in Montana that we're a robust bunch and ready for all kinds of things. Certainly when winter hits in the northern climes, I think people think that. But there really is a preparedness plan that people should have for all sorts of things, right? Whether you're talking extreme thunderstorm activity in the summers or, you know, we don't have a lot of tornadoes in this part of the country, but any of the major weather events, and certainly in the winter, it can be life and death at times.
That's right. And it's very seasonal, as you mentioned, and often it evolves around travel. And this time of year, a lot of our messaging is about travel. So folks, you know, have gotten their studded tires on their cars or their snow tires, or let's hope they're in the process of getting that done. But often people, if they're making trips, even over the passes, it's not common to have delays in extreme events, maybe even closures, road closures. And so you need to have your vehicle prepared. You need to have some blankets in there, for instance, some extra water, some food. Hopefully that won't happen to you, but you have to be prepared for it.
Well, and if something does happen, obviously having a plan, letting people know where you're going. I mean, you hear lots of stories of people getting stranded out in the middle of nowhere in Montana and having to wait a while before somebody comes along.
That's right. Yeah, if you're trekking in the outdoors or traveling for sure, and even at home having a plan. You know, a power outage in under cold weather conditions is a lot more serious event than say in the middle of June, for instance.
Winter recreationalists, of course, rely on the Weather Service to get that big prediction for the snow coming into the mountains.
Oh, they sure do. They're excited about snow. You got to be careful how enthusiastic you talk about the weather sometimes, because some people are dreading the snow. If they have to do a lot of travel in it, some people can't wait.
Can't wait, right. Well, maybe we can jump in a little bit as to what's basically happening now. This weekend, we're recording this on Thursday, but you're really expecting the first kind of major storm, major accumulation of snow possible in the mountain passes and the mountain areas of western and central Montana, right?
That's right. We are. It's a pretty interesting event. We've had a few kind of nuisance winter storms come through, maybe hit the mountain passes, a little bit of snow in the valleys. In fact, as we're recording this, we have a winter weather advisory out, and that's a product that's really geared toward kind of that the nuisance type of weather. It's not something that you're going to ever cancel your plans, but you're probably going to have to alter your plans a little bit, add 10 minutes to get to work in the morning, that sort of thing. But what we're worried about on late Sunday is a pretty vigorous Pacific front coming in, a lot of moisture with it, a good lifting mechanism that helps get that moisture generated into precipitation. And we're going to put a lot of snow in the mountains and probably even a reasonable amount of snow here in the valleys. You know, in the valleys, maybe 4, 5, 6 inches, hard to say. We'll fine tune the details on that, but we could see, on the order of feet in some of the mountains. But we're really worried about that Monday morning commute. And people need to stay tuned as they're listening to this. Check the latest forecast because these things, they evolve, and we try to evolve the forecast with them.
Well, we work with the National Weather Service and have links at our website as well, direct to the maps, the forecasting, and all those various products that are available, whether you're traveling or just want that morning commute information. And Marty, maybe I'll jump into that and just ask a little bit. I'm reading the weather often on Morning Edition, for example, and we're talking about these various regions of Montana. We've put a map on our website, but often we're talking about the Butte Blackfoot region or the Bitterroot Sapphire Mountains, the lower Clark Fork region, for example, and people have called and said, where exactly are these regions? And you've basically divided up the western part of the state, if I understand right, based on climate, right?
That's right. We tried to pick areas that were relatively homogeneous with climate. That's difficult to do in the mountains, extremely difficult to do. And then we attached hopefully intuitive geographical names to these, but we understand that that's not everybody's going to understand exactly where the borders are, and that's why it is nice to have a map to consult.
Well, it looks like, if I'm looking at the map here, the Butte Blackfoot region basically follows the Blackfoot River on the west side and goes basically through more of the mountainous area in the corridor north of I-90, right? And I guess east of the Blackfoot River, for example. So it is intuitive in the sense, if you think about those areas, obviously the major cities fall into different places in the map. You know, the Flathead Mission Valley obviously has most of the population area, right?
Right. Where we could, we tried to keep valleys together. But that's very hard to do. You'd end up with 100 of these zones if you kept them all together. But yeah, so the Missoula Bitterroot Valley goes down to south of Hamilton. Even that's one zone, but the weather even within that zone varies quite a bit. But we do issue our advisories and our watches and warnings based on those zones. And again, this coming event, Sunday into Monday, we're thinking that could be very high impact, and so that could be a warning level event.
Can you describe what are the trigger points, or what is the difference in terms of the definition when you go from an advisory to a watch to a warning? And I think obviously they're different in a thunderstorm time of year and a winter time of year, but it's the same calculations, right?
It is. It's a difficult question. We used to be base it just on numbers. You know, 2 to 4 inches would equal advisory, some magical number, 6 inches in 12 hours would equal a warning. But we really tried to dive deeper into that with our partners. And in the winter, the road crews are some of our best partners, because that's essentially what we're both trying to do, is keep the roads safe for travel. So we tried to figure out what different things impact the roads. Folks right here in Missoula, the road crews tells us some of their worst mornings are when there's only an inch of snow, because people don't slow down. If there's 6 inches of snow, they are forced to slow down, but an inch, they may not. And so they have some of their worst conditions with an inch of snow. So we tried to go beyond just the numbers and just try to figure out what the level of impact is. It might be snowfall, it might be snow intensity, it might be rain turning to snow, or even rain on the roads, and then we have a flash freeze if
right.
the temperatures drop
freezing
drastically.
Freezing fog we had a couple of weeks
exactly.
ago.
Exactly. Freezing fog, wind blowing that snow around, a variety of things. Not so reliant on strict numbers, so it's tough for a forecaster to do that, but we work with our partners to try to figure out, is this going to be a high-impact event, a low-impact event, moderate-impact event? We even consider the time of year. It, you know, just the other day, Wednesday before Thanksgiving, one of the biggest travel periods of the year. We're more worried about that day and shouting our message a little bit louder on days like that. We worry about times of day. Morning commute versus midday. It's a big deal to the level of impact. So we're trying to consider all those things. We couldn't do it without our partners, frankly.
Well, you live in the world of predictivity and what is obviously in some ways an inexact science. Mm-hmm. You don't know exactly how things are going to go. But obviously, it's a very important thing. What have you learned over time? How have things evolved in terms of the technology that's available to you guys? And also, the other part of the question would be, are there unique problems or questions that come up because you're dealing with such a mountainous region? Sparsely populated regions and that kind of thing too.
Well, yeah, both good questions. And in reality, they tie together because one of the biggest advances in technology throughout my career has been the increased resolution of the models. In the past, the models were so broad. Now, they were great for these large scale events, seeing a cold front come through and kind of timing that. But we need higher resolution because the Nine Mile Valley, for instance, is going to see different weather from the same front that the Central Bitterroot Valley will see. So the models are getting high enough resolution to start to see those differences. In the past, you had to have that local experience and adapt a large-scale model. Now you're starting to see high-resolution models. And when you talk about the difficulties in this area, that's what it's all about. The detail of the topography makes this the most challenging place to forecast, I think, in the country, and the funnest place to forecast in the country. Some people come here in our office. They come from all over the country and because of federal agency, and they move here. Some of them grew up loving the severe weather, so they miss that when they get here, but they soon fall in love with the detailed forecasting that it takes in the topography and things like fire weather. When we're trying to figure out what are the winds going to do on a particular slope at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, that is a challenge to forecast. If you're out in the middle of Illinois and it's flat, that's not as challenging. They have their other challenges. Don't get me wrong. This severe weather is very impressive out there. But from a meteorological standpoint, it is tough out here. And that's why these folks come and do it.
Well, it's been fascinating talking with you. It's wonderful to get this insight into it. We'll have more information, of course, on our website and links to the National Weather Service. How available are you as an organization to the general public? And do people call? And I know media organizations obviously are doing a lot with the weather every day.
They sure do. And I envy the media folks that direct connection sometimes with the public. But we do have a number that's accessible to the public. We talk to a lot of folks, especially groups like hay farmers at times, you know, and when are we going to get 5 days of dry weather that they can do their business? But no, we're open all the time out there, and we even welcome people stopping in, and we'll show them around a little bit and talk to them. But no, we'll try to help in any way we can.
Well, that's just great. Enjoyed talking with you. Thanks so much for coming by today. Marty Whitmore is the Warning Coordination Meteorologist at the National Weather Service in Missoula, and thank you so much for joining us today.
I appreciate it, Michael. It's my pleasure. Thank you.